kings of disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
I lie down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
Well, bless you all. It's good to come together for fellowship and praise and worship. And if some of you who are online, we don't meet in this life, we will be meeting with our Lord in glory, where we will cast our crowns down before him. Amen. And worship and praise him. What a day that will be. Hallelujah. Well, I'd like to exhort and share with you from the book of Daniel, if you turn with me. And we have a title today for our teaching, and I'm calling this, The Beast is Rising. The Beast is Rising. And I don't think that needs a lot of introduction. We are all very aware. We are closely watching, monitoring the signs and the times that we are in, we're living. And it's as plain and as clear as black and white. Because Jesus said, this generation shall not pass till they see my return. And in fact, we are over time. He's delaying his coming. And there's always a reason why God delays. And those delays of God are for you and me. And thank God, so that he gets us to that place prepared. And we will praise him, even though we're longing for the appearance of the Lord. We're longing for his kingdom to be established on the earth, to reign in righteousness. He is delaying because he wants us to make it in. That is the Father's heart. And never forget that. Hallelujah. Well, let's turn to Daniel chapter 2. And I just want us to look at a few verses. This is a huge book, of course, to study and open up. And no way could we ever cover it today. But in Daniel chapter 2, and we take it up verse 31 to 35. 31 to 35. You, O king, were watching, and behold, a great image. This great image, whose splendor was excellent, stood before you, and its form was awesome. This image's head was of fine gold, and the chest and arms of silver, its belly and its thighs of bronze, its legs of iron, its feet partly of iron and partly of clay. You watched, and it sort of goes on, and it describes the image of the beast, and it gets to. I'm just going to put my other glasses on. Excuse me a second. I'm struggling. That's it. I can see better now. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And it says in verse 32, this image, its head was of fine gold, its chest and arms of silver, its belly and thighs of bronze, its legs of iron, its feet partly of iron and partly of clay. And that is what I want us to really hone in upon. It's in verse 33. Its legs of iron and its feet partly of iron and partly of clay. Now, we know that the image of the beast speaks of the four ancient empires, Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, and Rome. And we know that the Roman Empire didn't completely go. It still continued, and it's still with us today. And it's also described as Mystery Babylon, We know that Babylon is headed by the harlot in Revelation. So it's a mystery. And the Apostle Paul calls it the mystery of iniquity. So it's a mystery that the powers of darkness are bringing forth. And anything that is described as a mystery means that it's actually hid. It's not seen by everyone. Now, I don't know whether you picked that up, but if you share and talk with people, with what's going on now in the world, we're now moving into the new world order, the new reset. We're now moving into another industrial revolution of AI technology. You talk with people, and most of them do not see it. They're blinded. They cannot see where this is leading. And you can bring it out. You can share some videos that have been well put together, well documented of the future, and it's like water on a duck's back. Now, why is it this image gives us a clue? Because this is what Daniel interprets through King Nebuchadnezzar. And remember that in that time, King Nebuchadnezzar was God to the people. He decreed whether you lived or you died. But God humbled him and he became like a beast of the field. And he then, after he came back in his mind, he acknowledged that there was a true God in heaven. I also love the book of Daniel because it is the first reference to the Son of Man or the Son of God. So he's getting a revelation of the pre-incarnate Christ. Now, we see these feet here. It's a giant. It's like a big warrior. It's a frightening image. It's not something pleasant to look at. It's intimidating. It speaks of power, control, and so on. However, it has weakness. And what is its weakness? Verse 33 tells us, its legs of iron, its feet partly of iron and partly of clay. And we all know that iron and clay do not mix. So these are elements from the ground. Iron is from the ground. Bronze, all of these are from the ground. Clay is from the ground. And what did God say when man sinned? He said, dust you come from, and dust you will return to. There is the weakness of man. There is the weakness of empires. There is the weakness of dominion, control. It may be for a season, but it is brought down. And the scriptures clearly show how the mighty tumble and fall, and they all do eventually. So we are beginning to see the beast system beginning to rise. And this beast system, it speaks of the feet of this giant, and the feet have 10 toes. And these will be the 10 kingdoms standing in the last days, and they will give their power over to the Antichrist. You see, he's going to be political as well as religious, and he's going to seduce them. He's going to show them, you give me the power and I'll show you I can rule and reign. And of course, what is power? Well, power is money. That's power. The love of money is the root of all evil. Note, there's nothing wrong with money. What is wrong is the love of it. There's the problem. And man suffers with greed, power, control. Nothing new. All our playwrights have written of it. Shakespeare wrote of it. Dickens wrote of it. They're all there in the plays and so on. Nothing changes. Nothing new under the sun. So what is the nature of a beast or beasts? Well, its actions are quite different to human beings. And the reason being, of course, is that beasts do not have a conscience, unlike we do, because we're made in the image of God. And something came to me as I was preparing this. What did the Apostle Paul say would happen to the conscience of man in Romans 1? In the last days, it would become seared. So he's going to take on a beast-like spirit. He's suppressing his conscience. He no longer wants to retain God in his mind and heart and conscience. So because a creature doesn't have a conscience, therefore it doesn't have morality. It doesn't consider moral issues. And the beast system that is rising, the Antichrist, will have no consideration for morality at all. It will appear as though morals will go. That's the nature of a beast. Now, it's interesting that a beasts, animals, one of the things that's characteristic about them is survival. They will fight to survive and live. And we know that. We also know that the nature of beasts cannot be fully tamed. You might be able to tame them to a certain extent. You might be able to tame a lion, a leopard. And a lot of people do. But there is an area of them that you cannot fully trust. They're unpredictable. Why are they unpredictable? Because a beast is territorial in nature. It wants its territory. It wants its domain. And so on. And of course we see that in the nature of man. Now, is this not describing the beast system that's coming up? Is this not describing the Antichrist and the beast, the false prophet, who seduces the people to look to the Antichrist that's coming? So there's going to come a false prophet first. And I believe we are beginning to see the false prophet who's leading us towards the one world order. It's all on the scene now. I'm describing the nature of a beast. The nature of a beast is also a predator. And it will kill, and it will not consider who it kills in order to survive. Does that not sound like the very devil himself? A murderer, a thief, a liar? The Bible says. And finally, because he's a predator, because he's territorial, he wants control. And you see that in the animal kingdom. You definitely see it amongst lions. And you know that lions will fight in order to take on the new pride. They are very territorial for a pride. And as a lion gets older, he can no longer fight. He has to then retract. So we see these instincts in the beast animal kingdom. And I believe that we're now facing a type of fifth empire. Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, Rome, which is the fourth, and the Roman Empire carrying on to the time of the Antichrist kingdom, or the ten kingdoms. It's a type of fifth kingdom we're now entering into, the new world order. And then the sixth kingdom that will be brought in upon the earth will be Christ's kingdom, which we come with him to rule and reign. And that will be for 1,000 years. Then we're told that the enemy is allowed let loose for a season, which he then goes for to try and deceive. And then God will burn up the whole elements, the whole world, everything. It speaks of like a scroll. He'll roll it up. And then out of the heavens will come the new Jerusalem, the new kingdom of God. And there Christ will hand back his kingdom back to his Father. So God is all in all. And that will be the seventh perfect number. So let's keep all of those things in mind. Now, clay and iron reveal how fragile it is. Clay and iron is supporting that huge controlling giant. So it shows it's got flaws. It's got weaknesses, because you cannot mix iron and clay. And we get the analogy of that. We're told that the devil goes around like a roaring lion to try and deceive us, to frighten us. But that's all he can do. He can just make a big noise. But he cannot touch God's people. He cannot destroy the overcomers. So there's these analogies that come up. I also, as I was preparing this, because it's fragile, and we're seeing the new world order coming in, we're seeing the fourth industrial revolution, which is technology, AI. But what is wrong with all of this technology? What is wrong with computers? It's fragile. It's not desperately reliable. It is very prone to viruses. And I believe that we are going to start to see major viruses hitting systems around the world. And I think some of these will also be controlled, will be for a reason, to weaken the systems. To weaken the systems in countries so that the New World Order can take control over the computer, can take control over the services, and so on. So I believe we will go through a season, as we get out of this COVID business, we'll start to see a different type of virus beginning to hit. And it's going to hit this. And it's going to show us that we're putting so much faith, so much reliance on technology, but remember, its feet is iron and clay. And that is not reliable. There's only one that's reliable. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Trust me. It's open to abuse. And we all know that. We've all seen the abuse, whether it's on our phones or on landlines or on computer. We've seen scams. Everyone you talk to, they've all had one or have them. So it's open to abuse. It's vulnerable. It's fragile. And that, of course, is the folly of man. He will always put all his eggs in one basket where it's not really completely reliable. But what is reliable? The rock, Jesus Christ. That foundation is reliable. We all have today now, we've got our data protection. The laws have been passed for data protection. We've got our antiviruses and so on. And yet we're finding that now governments are breaking data protection. They are violating human rights and so on. So again, we see how volatile they are. Again, I remind you of the clay and the iron of the feet. So how is the enemy achieving all of this? How is he trying to work all of this? Well, the thing that we are seeing now is fear. Even people in the world are saying there's a fear that's around. There's a fear that's trying to control. And what does it say in Revelation 21 verse 8? Revelation 21 and verse 8, he says here, but the cowardly, which really means the fearful, the unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. So that is what the enemy tries to control. He tries to control us with fear, because fear makes us run away as cowards. And even the world out there, I hear this word fear coming up so often. I'm hearing people say, I don't think it's COVID that's the problem. The big problem is fear. That's the killer, which I've said all along. And that is how he works, because it paralyzes us. It causes us to be illogical. It causes us to become imbalanced and irrational. Why, even psychology knows that. So again, the powers of darkness know where to attack. But guess what? The good news is Jesus has come to deal with that. There's no fear in the love of God. And that is what he's rooting out of us, because that enables us through these trials to be able to keep balanced and not go overboard like so much, sadly, in society and in governments are doing. We are seeing a lot of irrational things happening. Now, Romans 8 has something to say in this. You know this well in Romans 8, verse 15. Romans chapter 8 and verse 15. Remember, today we're talking about the beast is rising again. The beast is rising. You see, this beast-like image has risen right through history, through despots. That's its nature. That's why I'm saying again, but we're going to see him rise in power like we've not seen before. And it will be, for a season, it will look as though he has succeeded as he tries to destroy all Christians and God's people, Israel. Because that's what he's attacking. All that's going on is for one purpose, to attack the body of Christ and Israel. That's what this is all about. Never lose sight of that. That is the target. And he uses everything. He uses politics. He uses all the resources in which to attack. Because he's a deceiver. He's a serpent in nature. So what does it say then in Romans 8 verse 15? It says here, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by which you cry out, Abba, Father. So what you have received through the new birth, you have not received fear. There is no fear in God's love. You did not receive that. God did not give that to you when you became a new creation, when he came into your life. That is not what he gave you. And always hold on to that. Because there'll be a times when we feel that fear trying to attack, trying to take over. And you know when it's there, and you just take that stand against the powers of darkness. God has not given me a spirit of fear, but I have a sound mind, because I have the mind of Christ. And the enemy has to retract. He has to let go. Because always with fear, there's lies attached to it. Remember that. What does it say in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7? 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. There you go. That is what he's given. So he's given us his power, the very power that raised him from the dead, the same power you have, and that power and that love work together, giving you a sound mind. Praise God. And he gives us this power, and he gives us this love, because that is what attacks and diminishes fear from trying to take over. Every time. That is why we love the Lord and we love one another. And that is why we come together and we share together. That is why we have live meetings, because all of this is dispelling fear and doubt the enemy tries to work in our minds. That's why. It's not rocket science, this. So going back to the beast then, the nature of the beast, or Satan himself, he wants to be worshipped. That is what he wants. Let's remind ourselves, let's go back to Daniel chapter 3. And here we have the image of the golden statue. And let's take it up from verse 1 of Daniel 3. And Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold, whose height was 60 cubits and its width 6 cubits. And he set it up in the plain of Dura, in the province of Babylon. You know, it's just come to mind. But do you remember last year, and I don't know whether it's still going on, but these images were appearing around the world. And they were just really like a slab of metal or whatever, probably about 4 or 5 feet wide, and they stood about 10, 12 feet high. Some of them were just like silver metal, and they were being planted around the world. And there was no reason. They didn't know who was doing it. And of course, this all started to come to mind. We don't know whether they're still there. Some of them were planted in deserts, in unusual places. And nobody knew who was putting them there. And these things were towering up high. And this came to mind. Is this like a conditioning of the beast image, the falling down that is going to come? Well, I just raised that just for a thought. It's on YouTube if you want to look these up. They're there and you can see what these things are. And there's something very... There's something that's not calm about it. There's something that's odd. It doesn't feel right when you see these things. Anyway, it goes on. And King Nebuchadnezzar sent word together to the satraps and the administrators and governors and counselors and treasurers and the judges and magistrates and all the officials of the province to come to the dedication of the image which King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. And so the satraps, the administration, the governors and counselors and treasurers and judges and magistrates and all the officials of the province gathered together for the dedication of the image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up, and they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then a herald cried aloud, "To you it is commanded, O peoples, nations, and language, that at the time you hear the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, psaltery, in symphony, with all kinds of music, you shall fall down and worship the golden image that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. Why does he use music? Why does he use a ceremony? Why does he use a great gathering and everything? Because he knows that all of this has great power and influence to cause people to bow down and worship. And we have seen types of this over the centuries. We know that music has a great power over us. And music can get us to do things that we wouldn't normally do in our nature. I'm reminded in the 60s and 70s when rock started to come in and all the rock stars and everything. You know, we went to these concerts and we worshipped these people. You know, people screamed. Sometimes they passed out with euphoria. I mean, you may laugh, but I remember all of this in my youth. You know, it took us over. What's going on here? It's the same type of demonic activity working. And it says, whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast immediately into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. So at that time, when all the people heard the sound of the horn, the harp, flute, the harp, the lyre, in symphony with all kinds of music, all the people worshipped the golden image which King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. And you know the rest of the story. Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego, they didn't worship the image. And so he cast them into the fiery furnace. He even turned it up 7 times hotter. And they cast in the 3 of them, but there's not 3, there's 4. And there in the midst of the fire was the pre-incarnate Christ. And he commands them to come forth, and they come forth and walk out of the fire, and not a hair of their head was singed. God preserved them. What did he preserve them from? He preserved them from bowing down to the beast. You see? And that is what God is preserving you and I, my friends. That is why we are overcomers. This is why we are destined for the throne. And do not listen to the threats. Do not listen to the fears that's trying to get us to bow down, to compromise with all of this, because the Lord has gone before and prepared the way. And as God saved Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego from the fire, he will save you from the fire. And that is why you now are going through your fiery trials and tests. Because God is saving you now from your fiery trials. It's called overcoming. That's why we're overcomers. And he brings us through. You know that. You've all of you here and online have got a history of where God has brought you through fiery furnaces. And here we are, still praising and worshipping the Lord. This is all a type, brothers and sisters. And this is all preparatory. This is all part of your foundation God is building with you and I upon the rock of Jesus Christ. Never underestimate what God is doing. And the same Christ that delivered the 3 Hebrew children is the same Christ that will deliver us. Because we do not bow down to this system that is coming now. Anything that tries to control or tries to violate human rights, it's crimes against humanity. And we are to resist. The flames will not consume us. Don't listen to the devil's lies. They will not consume us. Because we're now seeing things happening that we never thought in our lifetime we would ever see. We are seeing laws being broken. We are seeing control. They are using this COVID as a doorway in which to set the foundation in line for the eventual mark of the beast. And this is why we prayed and fast to come against these vaccine passports, because that's the last nail in the coffin that is needed to set the platform in order to now bring us under complete surveillance, digital surveillance. This is it. Now, who's shown us this? The Lord has opened our eyes. That is why God says, my house is a house of prayer. And this is why he gets us into warfare like he does, for this very reason, to keep at bay, to keep bound the powers of darkness until the man-child, the overcomers, are caught away, and then they have free access for 7 years. And nobody wants to be around them. Mark my words. Praise God, he's got this all under control. He knows what he is doing. And that's why I call this teaching today, the beast is rising again. That is what it is. We need to keep a close eye on this Pope. He's now very active. He's now travelling around the world. I believe he's visiting now at the moment Greece. And what is coming out of this man's mouth is not of God by any means. The harlot is rising. And he is the one who points the way to the rise of Antichrist. We just watch and we wait. I'm not saying he is the one. He could well be the false prophet. We have to wait. There are certain things that we have to observe and see that scriptures reveal about this man. So we are in interesting times, are we not, brothers and sisters? And this is why the Holy Spirit said to us, look up, because our redemption draws near. And I heard also the Lord say that I've gone before and I've prepared for you a place in my Father's house. Do not forget these things, brothers and sisters. These are very precious to us, and we're going to value this more and more as we see what's happening in the world. Everything is shaking. God said, I'm going to shake the heavens and the earth, and it is shaking. And there is nothing you can do. Nobody can stop this. God is allowing it to be shaken so that everything that is not built upon the rock of Jesus Christ will not stand. And the image of the beast will not stand, because it is not built on the rock of Christ. Its feet is iron and clay, and you never build on that. That is why Jesus said, as I close, you do not build on sand, but you sit down and you consider the cost. And once you put your hands to that plough, you do not look back, but you go forward, ploughing that field, having those straight furrows up and down, with our eyes looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Holy Spirit who ministers and who teaches us. Lord, we thank you, Father, that we stand upon you. We thank you, Father, for your word. We thank you for the wisdom, the discernment that you are giving us. We are so aware that flesh and blood cannot reveal these things, but this only comes by your Spirit, Lord. Father, thank you for our time. Thank you for our fellowship. Thank you for speaking to us. Lord, we know that we're challenged. Lord, you know that we don't like change. We like our traditions. We like to hold on to the things that we feel secure. But Lord, you're showing us they are not. We are only secure in Jesus Christ. And you've come to us through the blessed Comforter, the Holy Spirit. And so, Lord, I pray you'll bless, preserve, keep each one of us. Bless us when we go out and when we come in. Keep us, Father, from the evil one, from temptation. Keep us in your word, in prayer. Keep us together in fellowship. And above all, looking to Jesus. For this we ask now, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Alleluia. Praise God.
Giving so disaster, let him in constancy fall.